asylum. For a terrifying tale of fear, lust, and insanity.
At AsylumFantasyFootball.com and BTRFF.com. Rick, it's the Tuesday Night Blitz.
Yes, welcome to the Asylum Fantasy Football Show with Fleeger and Briggs. Drop us a line at AsylumFootball@gmail.com.
On Twitter, the slow crawl now to 2,000, Rick, is on its way at the Asylum Football.
Oh, it's all the way up to a tortoise sprint already.
A tortoise sprint?
Indeed.
Is tortoise a word?
Tortoise.
Tortoise. Oh.
You know, like a big turtle.
You were being ironic then. I get it. Good job.
Well, you're sharp with the tack tonight, buddy.
You're a silly goose, Rick.
Yes, WSRU 88.1 FM, the voice of the rock. You can hear us on Thursdays and the weekend.
Absolutely. So, Rick, here we are for most leagues, not all leagues. For most leagues, we are in the playoffs. And for some leagues for us, Rick, we are not specifically.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's been a rough season. There has been some, you know, we're in a lot of leagues, and it's down to the wire. Some of the leagues that we're in together, we still have another game to go. And I'll tell you what, trading punches all year long.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, it's been a rough one.
It's up and down, and any good fantasy owner knows. And, boy, I think I faced it, and I know you did, Rick, faced it more than ever this year where – yeah, you'd score 175 this week and 92 the next week, and you'd win with 92 and you'd lose with 160. It's been a crazy year. I'm about ready to hang it up. We turn this into some sort of news show next year.
What would we call it?
Something about crocheting or something. Can you crochet? You make beer, don't you? We could do a beer making show.
Yeah, I do make beer. Homebrew segment.
Yeah,
of course.
There we go. We'll throw that out there. But no, those of you who don't stink like us, we're going to go ahead. We're going to get you ready to make your playoff run. Or if you have another week to go, go right ahead and get you into those playoffs.
Yes, indeed. I tell you what, it is, you know, we kind of had a segment on the last show. If you missed Friday's 2-hour super extravaganza, get your butt back there and listen to it. And you know, we hit a nice little segment on Rick came up with it, swinging for the fence.
Yeah, and then you
that was a real gimmick there.
Yeah,
but,
that's how it's hack radio. That's what we do. So, Rick, well, why don't we go out there? There wasn't a lot of headlines actually coming out of this week, and then we'll talk a little bit about our swing for the fences segment and see. All right, for 1 week, I think we sort of agreed, depending on your circumstances, you do it. Now do you do it in the playoffs? And, you know, we'll take a look at some of the guys we discussed. Probably, Rick, going to have to touch on the Javon Belcher situation and Rick's waving something in my face. Hold on. That was awkward. Wow, how about that?
I have no idea why that's so awkward. He has to read English, so it made it a little tough for him.
I can't read and talk. I got a lot going on, and smoking cigars and drinking Pepsi. I got a lot going on over here, Rick.
I know, but see, if you drink Coke, you can multitask.
Oh,
Pepsi just deadens your mind.
Well, that would explain a whole lot.
Unless they were one of our sponsors, that would be the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Yeah, call or email us, asylumfootball@gmail.com. Coke or Pepsi, we'll advertise you both. We don't care.
Exactly.
All right, Rick, well, let's talk about it. I think biggest news, Steelers expect Ben Roethlisberger to start this week against the Chargers. Mike Tomlin did throw in the caveat that he's going to get a chance tomorrow to show exactly what he can do. Looking like a lot of reports, Rick, I was surprised by. We'll do the little local yokel segment here first with the Steelers. Yeah. What did you make of those reports coming from Lock on Fora that they thought he could have played this week and was ready to go and some of his teammates were upset by it? That sounded like a crock to me, I'll tell you that.
It certainly wasn't anything heard locally here.
Yeah.
It sounds to me just kind of like a pseudo story trying to
drum
make
drum
something
up
out of nothing, exactly.
So, but if assuming that part of that was true, which generally part of it's going to be true, I don't think he made it up out of thin air. If he was that close last week, I think he's definitely going to be back this week. And assuming he's healthy, they say the ribs okay. It's just a matter of being able to throw without pain in that shoulder. Should be huge for Mike Wallace. You get the deep threat back, Antonio Brown back, Emmanuel Sanders looking good as long as he doesn't have to switch the ball in his hands.
Yeah, that was pathetic, but. No, I agree. Maybe there was a little something to it to start with. They were in semi-panic mode, you know, where we just lost to Cleveland, we're going to Baltimore.
Yeah.
You know, come on, Ben. Well, then all of a sudden Charlie steps up, they go to 7-5, and it's probably all forgotten.
Yeah.
And then he said, well, Ben was right.
Yep, everything's looking good now. You should even help Jonathan Dwyer. I mean, managed, what did he end up with, about 49 yards
yeah.
and 16 carries. Did get in the end zone. But, man, there was a lot of that. You saw nine guys in the box for Baltimore. I think you get Ben back, you're going to see those running lanes open up against a rather porous Chargers defense. So I like Jonathan Dwyer again this week. Again, that was my second headline. Already named the starter, going to get the bulk of the carries again this week against the Chargers.
Yeah, but I don't know, in witnessing what happened to Baltimore, I don't think if I'm – defensive coordinator San Diego, I can rely, even if Ben's not playing, nine in the box.
No, you certainly can't do it. Charlie Batch showed with time, and he got time, which is impressive with the shuffle they did on the offensive lineman, have your Pro Bowl center playing guard. I mean, it's just an amazing job by that offense in general.
Oh, yeah, and let's face it, this guy's a veteran. You know, he's shaking more and more rust off the more he plays. And I felt interesting the comments I read from Terrell Suggs, you know, asking, you know, about Charlie Batch as opposed to Ben Roethlisberger. And he basically come out and said, look, the NFL doesn't keep you on the team as charity.
No, that's true.
And
that's true.
He's
there for a reason.
He says he may not be what he used to be, but if you fall asleep in the guy, you can pay.
Yeah, and I think that's what happened there. Great game, just impressive. And on the odd chance, Rick, I know we talked a lot about this on Friday. If for whatever reason maybe Ben's still having pain and isn't able to practice and doesn't end up playing, for some reason we talked about it. There is a chemistry with Charlie Batch and Emmanuel Sanders. So,
yeah,
you know, that's something to look at.
That's true. Hey, while we're at it, I think we got all the problems solved here on the switchboard. I noticed we have a caller.
All right.
And we might as well move to the caller.
Let's see if we got it. We have area code 609. Are you out there?
Hey, yeah, good evening, gentlemen. It's George in the house. They made the playoffs in both leagues. Got two questions, one for a standard league and one for a PPR league. My running back, it's 10-point rushing touchdown, PPR league, point for a reception. You get 100 yards rushing, you get 5 more bonus points. If you get 100 yards receiving, you get 5 bonus points, you know, plus a point for every yard, 10-point rushing touchdown. Now, normally I've been going with Ridley and Forte. I went with Ridley and Wells this week. I lost, but it didn't really hurt me because Forte beat hurt. Now, Forte didn't do good against Minnesota a couple weeks ago. Michael Bush did. But based on my scoring, do I go Ridley? I have Ridley, Forte, DeMarco Murray, Matthews, and Wells. Out of those five, I need two with that scoring, with that PPR. Who would you suggest?
Okay, just totally forget Beanie Wells.
Right.
You know, boy, I tell you what, that's good. DeMarco Murray coming back looked pretty good.
Yeah.
I think Forte is a must. I don't know if you listened to the last show. Rick and I spent a little bit of time on Chicago. I was really high on Forte coming back, and I really think that Chicago needs him to supplement that offense. Because, look, they've already lost Ashelon Jeffrey. They've lost Earl Bennett. Brandon Marsh is the only weapon going out for pass. They need a guy like Forte in there to start making plays. Bush isn't the guy to be that dynamic. So I really think Forte is a must.
Okay, because Minnesota actually bottled up him and Bush stole the two touchdowns 2 weeks ago in Chicago. So that's what worries me. Does Minnesota have Forte's number this week? Since they shut him down, that doesn't mean a key, you know what I mean? So that's why I was wondering.
Absolutely, and I think, actually, when I heard that list, for me, the must start Ridley. He just seems to keep getting it, and much to my surprise. And I agree, it comes down to Forte and Murray. At least you know what you're getting with Forte. You'll have the receiving yards. PPR?
PPR, yeah.
Yeah, so I think that's sort of your safety net with Matt Forte. He's not going to put up the rushing numbers. I'm not ready for DeMarco Murray yet. They said it felt good. He didn't look too bad, but I think it might be a little early. Heading into the playoffs, I'm always going to feel better with Matt Forte.
Let me ask a question because I can't remember. Rick or caller. Was Cutler playing that game you were talking about against Minnesota?
Because Minnesota won. That was when Cutler came back. He got beat against the 49ers.
Okay, that's right, yeah.
Because Cutler wasn't there. Cutler first came back. And Forte wasn't doing bad, and then they just let Bush take over the touchdown stuff. But then somehow, I don't know if it was the third or fourth quarter, Forte re-hurt his ankle in that game. But they stopped Forte. They weren't really using Forte. It was weird. It was the first time they used Bush, God, since like week maybe two or three, that heavily. You know what I mean?
Well, I'm going to stand by. I think Forte needs to be in there. And I'm kind of leaning towards Ridley myself on that one there. I mean, I like Murray coming back. But, I think I'm going Forte Ridley.
I agree.
All right. And then my other one, in my standard league, I've been riding Romo the last couple weeks and not Freeman. And Romo's been a stud because early in the year he was a dud. So I got Bryce Brown in there, and Trent Richardson if he's still going to go. But the matchup with Freeman going against Philly, and me being a South Jersey guy, you never know what Eagle defense is going to show up. Man, do I take a chance on Freeman and not go at Romo this week? Because they're saying, like, Cincinnati has given up, I think, one touchdown and maybe four interceptions in the last couple weeks. They've stopped like Palmer, Eli Manning, and I forget the other quarterbacks they said, but you know. Although Romo has been doing well with his stuff there. What do you like? Do you think Romo, Freeman? I mean, Freeman has the better matchup, but who knows? Now,
I'll tell you what, I'm not a big fan in general playing matchups with a quarterback, and especially when we get in the playoffs. But
right.
The way Freeman's been playing and that matchup against a Philadelphia team that's just in complete disarray, and you're right, Cincinnati's been playing. Cincinnati will turn you over, and Tony Romo's favorite thing in this world to do right next to Phillip Rivers is to turn that thing over. I don't know if you're me out of it, Rick, but I'm tempted to say go Josh Freeman this week against the Eagles.
Boy, I tell you what,
And Romo's been giving me big numbers, man, you know, like the week before was like 36 points. I think I got like 28 points this week. It was a point every 25 yards passing, and then 6-point touchdowns.
I'm going to go Romo. I like Romo fantasy-wise, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I don't think you can go wrong. I'm tempted to go Freeman, Rick. I think I'll agree with you. I'm still tempted. I like the matchup with Freeman. But even in a bad game, if Tony Romo's turning the ball over, he still seems to manage to throw for 400 yards. So probably if that's who got you there, I'm going to agree. I'm going to back off a little bit, and I'm going to agree. Go ahead and stick with Romo.
All right. Hey, guys, I appreciate it. Yeah, last week, you know what I did? I'll let you go. I did a good move, but a stupid move. Who would have thought I dropped the Atlanta's defense because I had the Giants? Figured, I'll pick up Carolina's because I needed to win because this guy beat me once. If I won, I won a division. So I actually won $100, won a division, and I got the weekly high. But Carolina only gave me like 6 points. Who would have thought Carolina's defense? Now, I was kind of thinking, well, it could work in the opposite. Kansas City could come all fired up just like the Indianapolis team has been doing. This Indianapolis team is overachieved, and God forbid, it's sorry to see what their coach is going through. God bless them. But they're overachieving based on that guy. And Kansas City has stepped up and beat Carolina. And that was what I was worried about. Could Kansas City, with that situation happening, you know, with the facility, with their young linebacker, spin in a positive for them against you? And it did. So that backfired on me, thinking about the matchup. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no question about it. And who'd have thought that Atlanta would go out there, shut down New Orleans, pick off Drew Brees times? I don't blame you for doing that.
I would have never thought it, but it didn't. I'm gonna have to ride since we can't do no more drop ass. I'm gonna have to ride with the Giants the rest of the season. So whatever happens in the next couple weeks, we start the playoffs this week. It's gonna be what it's gonna be. But you know, I appreciate your advice. I appreciate your help. Hey, as long as Reggie Wayne can start getting in the end zone, you know, and Julio Jones and Cruz start doing something, I'll be okay in my PPR league, you know. But thanks, guys. I appreciate your help. Best of luck to you guys this coming week, and thanks for your advice. Enjoy your evening.
Thanks, you too. Thanks for the call. Good luck in the playoff.
Appreciate it. Thanks a lot. Yep, bye-bye.
All right, Rick, with some good questions there. That's tough, you know. We'll get into that. Well, why don't we just jump into that segment?
Well, before we get into that, I need you did the unexcusable. You booted me out, so you're taking over the chat room. So
you're in there.
I know, but I can't type.
No.
So it's all up to you.
How
but anyway,
I get out of it.
I don't have any idea.
I don't know. Anyhow, Rick, so let's jump into that, our playoff segment. I'll tell you what, I'll go lightning with the rest of the headlines. How much time do you want to spend about Woody Johnson preferring Greg McElroy over Mark Sanchez? If you think McElroy's the answer now, good luck. I guess why not try him? Yeah, we're sort of at that. Interesting, not a surprise, I don't think, to me. Michael Vick found himself to the bench for the rest of the year. Looks like he's healthy and ready to go. But they're going to let Nick Foles finish the season. Only makes sense. The year's over.
I think Shady McCoy will be right beside him.
You know, and I wanted to bring that up, Rick. You know, you see what Bryce Brown's been doing. It's been huge. They say Shady's in the third part of that three-part concussion, whatever they call that test or whatever it is they have to do. I would think do you fear they're just going to sit McCoy, or you're going to see an RBBC? I think that's the best case scenario is an RBBC. I'm worried if I'm heading into the playoffs and I'm a Shady McCoy owner, and I'm worried that Darren Sproles is going to do some scoring here the rest of the way out. We're going to be wearing Sanchez jerseys at the end of the year.
Well, I believe we said barring significant injury.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I would think 5-6 games is a significant injury.
Oh, is that? Did we have that?
I believe so. But
you
anyway,
sure about that?
If I'm GM or owner, he's not going to be playing because I'm cleaning house after this year anyway. So why would I risk losing this guy?
Yeah.
And as a Shady McCoy owner, you probably, you know, maybe you don't, but I mean, you know, hopefully you've got some depth because I don't think you'll be using them.
Yeah, no question about it. So something to watch, I think, even if Shady comes. All right, so here's the question. This may be more of a Friday question, so we'll just sort of dance on it now, Rick, but something we'll put a note down to really discuss on Friday. If you're a Shady owner and he's active this week, or at least as of Friday, we know he's medically cleared to play, what do you do? Do you start him?
I wouldn't.
So,
no, I mean, that's
a healthy, active Shady McCoy, we're going to keep on the bench. I'm not arguing with you. I'm just wondering, would that be hard to do heading into the playoffs?
Sure it would. But I don't know. I mean, how can you – if I'm going into the playoffs, and I know it's one or done, and just for an example, say you have Shady McCoy. He was probably your first-round pick. I don't know what other backs you'd have. Say maybe you have a C.J. Spiller.
Okay. Well, that'd be okay. Yeah.
I'm just trying to, you know. Here we go. Here's the old tweener guy again.
Well, the tweener
and maybe
guy.
Sean Green's in your stable.
It's
somewhere.
Always Sean Green for you, isn't it? It's always
or
Sean.
Or Ben Jarvis Green Ellis.
Okay.
You know? They would.
The tweener guy.
I would certainly stick them in before I put Shady McCoy in.
Okay.
So
Ben Jarvis Green Ellis over Shady.
I would.
Would be so tough. You're probably right, though. What choice do you have? You know what you're going to get out of those guys. I don't. Maybe. I guess that's somewhere you're really going to have to pay attention to what Andy Reid is saying, you know, leading into Sunday. Maybe he tips his hand that. If Shady's our guy or something, you hope for that.
Okay, you're 3-8.
Okay, well, right. Yeah.
Okay, you're 3-8. Bryce Brown has been running through defenses since McCoy's been out. Are you actually, as a head coach, are you just going to, okay, well, thanks, Bryce, you're done. Do you or don't you? Or and Shady, you're you know, a week removed from – 2 weeks removed from a concussion, whatever it is.
Yeah.
We're 3-8.
Okay.
Get in there, big boy.
Yeah, I don't know, but if he's your star, you're paying him big money. Do you want him unhappy? Do you want to sit him down and alienate him? These guys want to play. They don't care. From what I, trust me, Rick, it's very little, the little opportunity I've had to talk to pro athletes in my life, and it hasn't been much, and hopefully through this show it can become much more. These guys, by and large, the coaches may be different. These guys don't care what the record is.
Oh, I know. I've talked to many of them.
They want to play the game.
I agree 100%.
They just want to play. And you got these guys.
It's with baseball. It's with
golf. I mean, it doesn't matter. Why do you think these guys play on the senior tour to what, 65?
You're right.
You know, I mean, they want to play.
They don't care. A lot of those guys, to use your golf example, how many of these guys go out there and get hammered every week? They don't have a prayer, but it's just what they do. And these football players, Shady McCoy doesn't care that they're 3-8.
I agree.
Especially, I think, in the NFL, every game is the biggest game of their lives because you could get your career could end at any day. You could become a legend on any day. The limited schedule that they play. So I guess the question becomes for Andy Reid, if McCoy's healthy and ready to go and wants to play, you're not just going to say, no, I'm going to deactivate you for the rest of the year.
Okay, let me
He's going to have to get some carries,
Let me put it to you another way. You own the Eagles, okay?
Okay.
For right now, this second, you own the Eagles.
Sell.
You have, you know, a top three running back on your table or on your team making big money. You got big money on the table, okay? I'm not sure what his contract status is right now, but as an owner, maybe going through – Andy Reid's not going to be there, and probably most of that coaching staff's not going to be there.
No, they're all –
A lot of those players are not going to be there. What if I got a hold of you or your agent or whatever? Look, you know, I know you want to play, but here's the deal.
Okay.
What if we give you an extension?
Well, that's a lot of what if.
You know, why? I own the team. I mean, why isn't this good business sense? Okay.
You're right.
You know what I'm saying? And, you know, I'd really like to make sure you're healthy going into next year. We're going to get this thing turned around. You know, people were talking Super Bowl not just 2 years ago. I know we got a good base here, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. I mean, is it?
Well, that's a separate conversation. If I'm Shady McCoy or any NFL player and you come to me
and say, Andy Reid is different.
I'm going to give you more upfront money. I want you to take the rest of the year off. Everyone's going to take that deal. But assuming that doesn't happen, back to reality, this week, if he's back, Bryce Brown doing what he's doing, I can't argue with that. Andy Reid may be wanting to sit him down. Do you as a coach, forget the owner, do you as a coach tell Shady, nah, we're just going to go ahead and ride the rookie the rest of the year. You get healthy and we'll come back and give him hell next year. I don't think you can do that
to this guy.
I think you alienate a superstar.
I think that's my point. I really think that's my point.
Your point's on the top of your head.
They show him... If you watch any Philadelphia Eagle game, they show Andy Reid a half hour every game.
Yeah.
He's standing there. The guy looks totally – he looks less interested this year than John Fox did last year in Carolina.
Yeah.
I'm not sure he even has much power to say, you're going to be playing.
You may be right.
That's my gut feeling on that situation.
Well, and as is typical for us, I think we just argued for 10 minutes about something we actually agree on. So that's the magic
of the
asylum, apparently. So that's about all for headlines, Rick. So why don't we jump into – well, I'll tell you what. Let's do this. The caller brought it up. Doesn't have anything to do with fantasy football, but I think if you're going to have an NFL – theme show, I think we'd be a little remiss in not discussing the events on Saturday with Javon Belcher and, you know, obviously, I'm sure you've heard by now, shoots his girlfriend, goes to this is the part, don't get me wrong, I don't want to say what he did initially wasn't appalling, but then to go to Arrowhead and in front of your head coach, in front of Romeo Crennel, in front of Scott Pioli, then to take his own life, just stranger than fiction type of scenario.
Yeah, it was. You know, what can you say besides bizarre and tragic at the same time? It's to me an incredibly selfish act. But although you know, obviously this guy had to have had some problems.
Yeah, no question.
And and to top things off, he shot his girlfriend in front of his mother.
Yeah.
So
they have
a three month old baby
now. Orphan, do people still say orphan?
Exactly. So,
So how does Romeo Crennel, first of all, this is a guy we've given a lot of criticism to, and actually somebody you have, I think, gone on the record as saying you actually hate as a person. How do you go out and coach a football game less than 24 hours after that happened?
Yeah, Romeo Crennel, running Jamal Charles five times a game really has nothing to do with something like that. And everything... that's ever been said about Romeo Crennel. Maybe he was the ideal guy to be in that situation this team. Who knows? Because everything you heard about, he's nothing but a stand-up guy, you know, cares about people. And, you know, I mean, maybe he's the right guy for the job.
Yeah, could be. Maybe not ideal as a football coach, but ideal as a leader, and maybe something be said for that. So what do you make of, too, the backlash? I know one, speaking of Twitter, Dwayne Boga's on Twitter after the game, says this one was for Javon or for, I don't remember exactly what he wrote, but I did see it, and there's outrage that, and I can see the outrage, I guess, based on what he did. Like you said, the suicide was a selfish act. Obviously, what he did to his girlfriend, what he did to his coach, and to Scott Pioli. I'll go ahead and throw mine out first, Rick. I don't have a problem with the players even dedicating this to him. Or this is still their teammate. This thing happened. It was awful. And I think these players recognize that. But to criticize them, this is how they're dealing with it. It's still their teammate, still their buddy. I don't know. I don't have a problem. I think the criticism is misplaced there. I can see maybe it's a bit, you could argue it's a bit insensitive, but who cares? This is how these guys are dealing with it. This didn't happen to you. This happened to these guys in this locker room, and who the hell are we to tell them how to deal with it?
Oh, I agree, you know, to a point, no doubt about it. I think there are, of course, there's other, you know, people involved. I believe the girlfriend was Winnie Charles, you know, Jamal Charles' wife's cousin.
Oh, really? I hadn't heard that.
Actually introduced her and Belcher.
So,
I mean, there's other people involved. And I think, you know, I bet you Jamal Charles probably has a bit different feelings about it.
And that's okay, too. If Jamal Charles got on there and called him a murderous whatever, I'd have no problem with that either. What I'm saying is, who are you and shut up?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Let these guys do what they do.
Exactly. I mean, to say, you know, you're not allowed to mourn your friend or acknowledge it, whatever, is just that stupid.
Yeah, I agree. And speaking of do what you do and shut up, the last thing, and we'll get off of this because we really got to be talking fantasy football here. The Bob Costas comments, Rick, at halftime of Sunday night, the gun control comments. What do you make of that? Now, granted, Rick, and I don't think we're breaking any ground considering we took basically missed last week to go hunting. I think everybody knows how we feel about firearms.
And I was successful, too.
By and large, I was not, unfortunately. So by and large, what do you make of that whole deal?
Number one, it's a dumb comment. I mean, it's the old thing. But, you know, if Lizzie Borden didn't have an axe, her parents would still be alive. I mean,
Cass didn't have a ham sandwich, she'd still be alive.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, that's just a dumb thing to say. It's one thing to think that's fine, write something about it. But, you know, you're supposed to be announcing a football game.
Yeah.
And we're supposed to be talking fantasy football.
Yeah, that's
so let's
true.
Do that.
Hold on. My last thing on cost is here's what I want to say. Bob, shut up. Nobody cares what you think about gun control.
Exactly.
However, everybody on Facebook and on Twitter and on the message boards and everywhere else calling for him to be fired because he had that opinion, you can go ahead and shut up, too.
Yeah, exactly.
It is what it is. He said what he said. He went on Dan Patrick today and sort of defended it a little bit. The old, well, I didn't have time to get my whole point across. I don't necessarily agree with his stance because of what we said with the Mama Cass example and the Lizzie Borden. But you could have that opinion. So, Bob, I don't want to hear it. And, no, he doesn't need to lose his job because he had that opinion or said it. It's just ridiculous. And I hate when situations like this are turned into basic political arguments.
No, I like Bob Costas. I enjoy listening to
him. You go ahead, though, Bob, and talk figure skating. Leave gun control to the professionals. So, all right, let's get off of that before we alienate what few listeners
we set up a debate
between
Bob Costas and Ted Nugent.
Well, Ted Nugent came out and fired out against him. Did you hear that?
Oh, surprise.
I don't have it in front of me. I wish I had the quotes. It was typical Ted Nugent stuff, though.
So. Uncle Ted holds nothing back.
Yeah, that would actually be a fun debate to watch. Maybe we'll get that on the Asylum. You think we could get those two guys on?
Oh, I'm sure.
All right, Rick. So let's jump back to fantasy football here. So let's talk about the playoffs, talk about the swing for the fences. We talked to the caller before, so that's the first one. Freeman Romo is a beautiful example. We end up going Romo. How much, I know it's going to be dependent on position, so let's put that caveat out, but just by and large, high-level view, are you worrying about matchups? You're in the playoffs now, so whatever team you have got you here. Are you going to start messing with it and playing matchups, or are you going with who brought you and hoping for the best?
If I was riding basically the same lineup all year, I'm probably not checking a whole lot of matchups, quite honestly. If by chance I'm one of these guys that have been piecing together a team that's been coming together,
yeah,
then I'm
going to
continue. Yeah,
lot.
Exactly. I'm going to continue to do what I do. You know, in the case of the team that I had, we went over the lineup. It's basically been the same lineup all year, and they've just been knocking out the points. So you don't really mess with
them. In your case, you're not looking who Brandon Marshall is playing
against.
You're playing Brandon Marshall.
Exactly.
So it's more of those mid-level guys.
And I tell you what, that was a great question from the caller, too, because there's a lot of guys out there with the Roethlisberger Freeman or Romo Freeman.
That's a little different.
You know, maybe Romo Kaepernick that we kind of hit on last week with him coming along and that kind of thing. You start to think, should I play matchups? You know, Romo is a fantasy guy. There's no doubt about it. However,
even when he plays bad, he's never going to win a Super Bowl. Even when he plays bad, he's fantasy gold by and large.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, and let's look at it. One thing we spent a lot of time talking about, a situation I faced and knocked me out of the playoffs, but I was worried about the matchup. I had Marshawn Lynch and Doug Martin. I was worried about the matchup for Marshawn Lynch. He goes out 19 for 87, gets in the end zone, did just fine, just what I needed out of him. However, Doug Martin, 18 for 56, and he was the one I told you I had a bad feeling about him. I just didn't have an option. I trusted more. You know, had I gone Jonathan Dwyer, I'd have about the same yardage, same numbers, but I got that touchdown. So, but I think at this point, you know, we talked about it on Friday for last week. Going into the playoffs, regardless of the matchup, you can't sit down a Doug Martin. You clearly can't sit down a Marshawn Lynch. The big names, obviously, you're never going to bench based on matchups. So it's tough this time of year. I think my advice is, if it's something you've been playing matchups all year long and doing it successfully to get you in, do it. This isn't the time. Don't get cute. That's the message here. Just don't get cute. Go with the lineup that got you there. Hope for the best.
Exactly. I mean, let's face it. Arian Foster last week, 14 for 38. He did find the end zone, but that's still not making RB1 numbers for you. But you're not going to bench him. You're going to think, oh, gee, they're playing another tough defense this week. You know, they were playing, Tennessee last week.
Yeah, so you'd have thought he'd have had a huge week, actually surprised it wasn't
right.
Poorly.
Drew Brees, 5 picks, no touchdowns. I mean, you know, how many times does that happen? You're not going to bench him.
No, certainly not, and I got to think he comes back.
I had
back.
The gut feeling, didn't have the guts to do it.
Yeah, would it have made a difference for you?
Yeah.
I knew the answer. I just wanted to bring that up. So look at some of the other guys in terms of swinging for the fences type of guys, Rick. I know one guy, we wondered a lot about the Denver running back situation. So I think this is good news, bad news. If you got in and you've got quarterback injuries, maybe you have a Shady McCoy, somebody like that you've been counting on that's been banged up, or you managed to get in spite of having some, you know, I don't know, who do you have? You drafted DeMarco Murray and you've been trying to get through with Felix Jones or something. So no Sean Moreno, good news, bad news. Gets 20 carries to Ronnie Hillman's 5. Bad news, he only gets 69 yards to that. So I think this is 2 weeks in a row now you've seen this split, Moreno in the 20 carry category. While he didn't have a lot of success this week, I think if I'm desperate for a running back, if you can give me a running back on a Peyton Manning-led team who's going to get 20 carries, I'll take my chances with that.
Yeah, I agree. And he seems to be getting the lion's share of it. And I don't think he's as good as McGahee, obviously.
No.
But if he's getting the carries, I think the yards will come.
Yeah.
So I think he's certainly worth, you know, like you said, a great example. Somebody may be riding
the Raiders on Thursday night as well.
And if you've been riding Felix Jones or something like that, now you got, you know, DeMarco Murray back, you know, or, you know, maybe you're a Darren McFadden owner.
Okay.
I wouldn't trust him any farther than you could throw him.
All right, you're a Ryan Matthews owner.
Oh, we had that discussion. You put him, I put Marino on the same fantasy shelf as Ryan Matthews.
Yeah. And I think I might go.
And with the addition of Peyton Manning and that offense that they have, I'm playing no Sean Marino.
You know, and that's where you're going to play matchup, too. Matthews going up against the Steelers defense, which that rush defense, not what it was, but limited Ray Rice this time. 2 weeks ago, completely shut Ray Rice down. And then this week, off, only 9 for 26 for Matthews. And you play the matchup there, and you'll have Moreno going up against that Raiders defense. I think Moreno's a pretty good start this week. Now, don't pull – let's some second-level type of guys. Don't pull – give me a name, Rick, of a starting running back, but who's not on the elite level. My mind.
Steven Ridley?
Yeah, don't bench Ridley for him. Don't bench
– well, I can't really say that. Ridley's up there. So, you know, maybe how about
– Frank Gore.
Frank Gore. I certainly would not bench him.
No, no. So, don't – again, back to the message. Don't get cute here. But if you've been piecing stuff together, Felix Jones, Ryan Matthews, some of these other guys, you know, I'm playing Moreno over quite a few of these guys.
Oh, definitely. I agree 100%. And, you know, there are some guys out there that you may want to bench. Okay, here's one here. I mean, I'm risking Taylor Swift.
Ooh, all right.
However, D'Angelo Williams, 12 rushes. I mean, that's as high as he's going to get. He was going to be the featured back.
Yeah, the featured back.
And granted, he got about 5 yards of carry, but they don't run the ball.
They won't run the ball. In a game where, I believe, what did Cam Newton end up 7 for 78? That's just part of that offense.
Exactly. He has a secret crush on Taylor Swift.
You bring up D'Angelo Williams, I play Taylor
Swift.
Here's
a question.
That's the rules of the
show. Turn her off.
Hold on.
We're not talking that.
We didn't get to the hook yet. Hold on.
Yeah, we did. James Starks.
Or Moreno? Moreno.
No, I'm not talking about that. Do you consider... This is irritating.
You brought it up. All right, I'm sorry. Back to your James Starks point. You did it to yourself. I didn't even have it queued up like I normally
do. Do you start him as maybe one of your swinging for the fence guys? Or do you stick with Alex Green? Or do you need one of them?
Starks over Green. I'd like to avoid both of them. Although you're seeing Starks getting the workload, managed to find the end zone last week. He's become the feature back in that offense. So, dependent on my situation.
It was
James,
15,
I'll ask you.
15 carries to 12.
Yeah.
Last week. And it was, there's Starks, 15 for 66. He did hit the end zone. Green, 12 for 58. Not a lot different.
No. So, I mean, I think it's going to be a desperation move. We were talking before the show. We're in that Icon Experts League where we had McGahee as our number two. Lost him. You know, I've been piecing together Starks and Rashard Jennings and a few of these guys. I think out of that kind of list, if you find yourself in that situation, I mean, I think we're ranked second in that league. We hit a late injury. That's the kind of stuff you're seeing. If we can get our hands on No'Shawn Moreno, I'm playing him over Starks. But I think in that scenario, I know we're real strong at wide receiver in that league and real strong at quarterback, and second running backs are weakness. I could live with James Starks here, and I'd take him over Alex Green, I think.
Okay. Pierre Thomas, No'Shawn Moreno.
No'Shawn, just based on the 20 carries, you're not going to see Pierre Thomas get 20 carries.
No. He did have 14, though.
And that's a lot for him.
Yeah, it was. I was surprised there.
But that team can turn around and air it out 60 times
and
next week, and you don't know it's
where'd
coming.
Where'd Chris Ivory go? He looked like dynamite for a couple of games.
All he does is run for 5.5 yards a carry and bust one long every week, and then we sit him back down. I really hope that kid can find himself somewhere. You know who he reminds me of is Michael Turner.
Yeah.
In San Diego. Now it was a little different being behind LaDainian Tomlinson, but you knew the kid was special
right. And
wanted to see him get that feature back role. If you could ever see Ivory get that, I think this kid's going to be fantasy gold.
Oh, yeah, and I did want to hit back on another comment you made to the caller, and we got sidetracked there. I am ready to trust DeMarco Murray. I mean, 23 carries, 83 yards, and a touchdown. I think he's stepping in. I don't think there's much split time coming
in
Dallas. I think he's raring to go, and DeMarco Murray is such an upgrade. He's an RB1, low end to boot, but I mean.
Low end, so you're trusting him fully to start week in and week out.
Yeah, I am.
So in that scenario, I don't think – so you obviously gave the caller Forte. Are you Murray over Ridley?
I tell you what, that's a good stable back.
Yeah, that's pretty solid.
Yeah, I would have to assume that he probably got Murray as his RB2, and Ridley was probably a fill-in.
Yeah, because remember, Ridley and Vereen went back-to-back in most leagues
in
about
that
the
scenario,
eighth or ninth round.
In that scenario, I'm staying with Forte Ridley, but let's face it, not many teams have that problem.
You're right.
And I think Ridley, on all those guys that we were talking about, Marino, Starks, all this kind of stuff, don't even talk about it.
No. If you have that compared to DeMarco Murray, I agree. Because if you look at it, if you're the Dallas Cowboys and you have any opportunity to throw a sack of potatoes out of there to take carries away from Felix Jones, let alone a guy with the talent of Murray, you just worry about his health. This guy hasn't strung together too many consecutive games of good health.
Exactly. And speaking of not that many games of good health, but just when you think he's gone, 25 carries, 109 yards, old Fred Jackson's back.
Yeah, how about that? Does it again. What I have here, Spiller, 14 for 77 himself and a touchdown.
Right.
I did see Chan Gailey say that the weather conditions factored into his decisions. I'm not sure how that affects your running backs. Apparently more comfortable with Fred Jackson. How much time did we spend on that on Friday, Rick, and how much time have we spent on it in the last year? You think Fred Jackson's dead? They named C.J. Spiller the feature back, and here he comes. He gets, 11 more carries and outrushes him. You know, Spiller's an explosive guy, but I think this almost makes sense to me. This would be the way to do it. Spiller, a guy, when he's gotten a lot of carries, has gotten banged up. Jackson has a history of getting banged up. You know, you bang it in there with Fred Jackson two-thirds of the time. C.J. Spiller give you the same production or near the same production as Jackson, and one-third of the carries gives you that explosiveness. I think this is what you're going to see from here on out, assuming both stay healthy.
Yeah, if they can do that, they could, you know, may win another game or two because they had it at the beginning of the year, and that was what the whole basis of that offense was going to be. Fitzpatrick's going to be able to pass and everything. It didn't work out. And but, yeah, I mean, that's what it takes with those guys, 39 carries between them for almost 200 yards.
Yeah, no question about it. And I think I'll go on record now as saying I would trust both of them as fantasy starters, as fantasy starting running backs. I mean, you put Fred Jackson on your bench at your own peril, that will come back and bite you, and it would have this week.
Exactly. Just like we say, I mean, don't count him out till he retires.
Yeah. Something else we talked about in the Swinging for the Fences segment, Rick, I want to cover. We talked about those Seattle receivers. You know, Wilson really getting it going, really impressive, forgotten in the madness of Andrew Luck and RG3 is just what this kid is doing. And Golden Tate, you know, touchdowns, gets in the end zone again, 90-some yards. And Sidney Rice, 99 yards and a touchdown. Yeah, if you're looking, if you're playing, name me a guy, a Hayward Bay, a low level, some of these guys.
Denarius Moore.
Yeah, some of these guys in Oakland, some of these guys in San Diego, Dwayne Bowe.
Definitely.
I'm going to take Stevie Johnson.
Brandon Lloyd.
Yeah, some of these guys you're dragging around playing because of their name. These guys, Tate and Rice, not huge numbers, but 60 to 90 yards finding the end zone every week. If you're looking for a bump and you're dragging some of this dead weight around, I think you seriously consider playing some of these guys.
Oh, I agree. I mean, you brought up Golden Tate, you know, as you're swinging for the fence and – you know, I got to thinking about it. We talked a little bit, and my swinging for the fence was Sidney Rice. I mean, those guys are loaded with talent.
They both had the exact same numbers.
Yeah, exactly. So certainly that offense is starting to crank a little bit, and with all the, the rookie sensation stuff going on with Luck and RG3, this Russell Wilson kid, he's quietly just having a really nice season.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So that's all. And, you know, another guy we brought up, and this is interesting going back to the Moreno or the James Stark or. I asked you about Joik Bell on Friday.
Yes.
And he didn't have that long touchdown run he's been good for. But, again, 7 carries, 81 yards, gets half the carries Mikel LeShore does. But this is what he does. A kid averages 8-9 yards a carry most of the time. You know, how about are we desperate enough in that icon league where I'm thinking about starting James Starks this week? Where does Joik Bell fit into that picture as a desperation, swinging for the fence kind of move?
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
It's risky, but it's high risk like Golden
Tate. Extremely risky. And the reason, you know, and I mentioned this before, my negative feeling on that, I'm a little more cautious when it comes to it than you are. I like the guys that get the carries.
Yeah, you're right.
I hate, you know, oh, he got 7 yards, you know, he got 7 carries. He got 81 yards. He broke one for a touchdown. Okay. Or he didn't break one for a touchdown.
Not this
week,
but
right?
He has a lot.
But he has. Okay. He doesn't, even if he gets 8 yards a carry, but he doesn't get the end zone, you just don't have that amount of carries.
You're only talking 8 fantasy
to
points.
Get there.
Not
and
catching the ball, I don't believe.
That,
so.
That's the only worry that I have. But, like you said, depending on who you got, maybe you're sitting there with, I don't know, give me somebody. Jonathan Stewart that you had. Or...
we don't want to play Taylor Swift again.
Okay, how about Reggie Bush?
Yep, there's an excellent one. You know, now what I find interesting with Reggie Bush, didn't have a good week this week, 15 for 64. But Daniel Thomas only gets 5 carries this week. So has that swung back? You know, I know Daniel Thomas has had some health issues, but Bush getting 2/3 or more of the carries every week, you know what he's capable of. It only takes one to make you really regret putting him on the bench.
Yeah, I know. It's... I don't know. Miami's a tough nut to crack. I mean, you think Reggie Bush is done. He's kind of like Fred Jackson, only in a different mode. You think, well, okay, he's just done for the year. Miami's quit. Then all of a sudden, up 25 fantasy points.
Yeah.
And you just put him in again, he gets like 6.
Yeah, but if this is your number 2 option, I mean, I'm not playing a Joik Bell over him. You know, and I agree with you. If I had that choice with him and No'Shawn Moreno, again, my point, No'Shawn getting 20 carries, even though he didn't do much with him this week, if this is twice in a row, if you can guarantee him he's going to keep getting 20 carries, he'll bust one off at some point. He'll find the end zone at some point. He'll be safer there. All right, Joik Bell or back to James Starks, the guys we're talking about, or Alex Green. I think I play Bell over those guys.
Oh, I think I would too. I mean, you're looking at you can throw LeSure in there in a way because they're all 4 of them are splitting carries.
Yeah.
Now, LeSure and Bell are a little more skewed towards LeSure. But if you're getting split carries on the Green Bay side, I'm going to go Joik Bell.
Yeah,
hey, we're Flager and Briggs. This is the Asylum Fantasy Football Show. And I think it's time for some game ball and stinky songs.
All right. Wow, we're down to under 15 minutes. We are just yentering on like mad. And
yentering?
Nothing done.
Is that a word?
I think that's a word.
Yentering.
I think it's Yiddish, isn't it? You can say Yiddish, can't you?
Well,
or is that racist or something? Did I just say something bad?
No, I don't think so. I mean,
but I think it's Yiddish.
But everything doesn't start with Y just because it's Yiddish.
Well, then
yentering.
I think. Well, I'm not saying because they both start with Y.
Are we yawking right now, or
nobody yawks? I don't know what you're talking about. I'm telling you, Yiddish is a word, or did I make that up too?
Well, I know it's an old language, apparently.
Yeah, I think it's Jewish, isn't it?
I don't know.
With Hanukkah coming up, we could look into that. I think that's what that means. Or I said something horribly racist, and I apologize if I did.
I kind of doubt. I mean, it's like saying French. I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
Well, I'm not crazy about the French, to be honest.
Well, you know what I'm saying. It's a word. It's Spanish, German, whatever. I mean, it's a word. I don't think it's – or a language. I don't think it's anything derogatory.
I still don't like
any stretch.
I still don't like the French. Or French Canadians, for that matter. Speak English. You're in North America.
I like French wine.
Get over yourself. You like French wine. You're so classy.
Yeah, right.
You're sitting there slugging beer all night.
That's it. Dark
burping
barbecue,
is
buddy.
What you do.
I like, yeah, I'd be more at home in Germany,
I like
sure.
French wine. Give me a break. All right. We cannot keep on fantasy football tonight. So, Rick, I'm going to give the first game ball, and it has to go to back to the local part of the show. Heath Miller this week. We had a pretty good debate on him on Friday. Didn't know what we were going to see. 5 grabs for 97 yards and a touchdown, and he was the difference in that game versus the Ravens.
The best tight end all around in football. I don't care who it is. You can talk Gronk and Jimmy Graham and all them, and they're in a more prolific receiving offense, but all-around tight end, there's not one better in the league.
Now, it is time to talk about Heath Miller in terms of most people have him, if you're carrying 2 tight ends, which a lot of people don't, have him alongside the likes of Vernon Davis, have him alongside the likes of Antonio Gates. I'm telling you, Gronk's out, after Jimmy Graham, and he's been a disappointment the last couple of weeks. We'll get into that during the Smelly Socks portion of this. After those guys and maybe Aaron Hernandez, is there a tight end you're playing over Heath Miller? I would play Heath Miller over Vernon. And this one, it's tough for me to say because I gave you Vernon Davis as my number one overall tight end going into the season. I was dead wrong on that.
And I vehemently disagree.
You did, and you were right. I was dead wrong on that one. For me, Heath Miller is a top five fantasy tight end this year. I don't know if the points are going to bear that out. But in terms of my comfort level, though, he's a top five fantasy tight end.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, this guy has as good a hands as you're going to find on a tight end.
Yeah.
He has the size. He has speed enough for a tight end. He's not the fastest one there, but he's certainly not the slowest. And I'll tell you what, there's nobody blocks like he does. And he's smart, and, I mean, he is the best tight end in football.
Yeah, and that play he made to get in the end zone, diving, keeping his feet in bounds, just catching the pylon, impressive stuff.
And I was fortunate in the fact that I lived in Richmond during his college days, and I watched Virginia a lot on
Where
TV.
Where did you live?
And I didn't even dream that Pittsburgh, you know, would be drafting a tight end, to be honest with you, at the time. But as soon as they made that selection, the old fist pump, because I watched this guy, you know, through his college, and he was awesome. I'm going to give a game ball out. Of course, you know, I've given out to him before. But I tell you what, Ashlon Jeffrey's been out for a while. Earl Bennett's out. There's not one weapon, you know, on Chicago in the receiving core other than Brandon Marshall. Everybody knows it. The defense knows it. And he goes out and catches 10 balls for 165 yards. They can't stop him.
You just can't do it. He's doing it in spite of, you know, all of the coverage is going his way, and he's doing it anyhow. So I can't disagree with that whatsoever. Why don't you go ahead and give out a smelly sock now?
All right.
It's a big stinking one. Somebody really ruined it.
Well, there's no doubt in my mind who it was for me. And that was, although he did put up 341 yards, he had no touchdowns and 5 picks. And under one fantasy point, that's Drew Brees.
Yeah.
That was just inexcusable for somebody like that to have that kind of performance against Atlanta.
You know, but guys like that are going to have one week like that every year. These big guys, they always seem to do it.
But it's usually one of these things, like maybe they went to, I don't know, pick somebody in Arizona or Seattle, not a division opponent.
Yeah.
That was just, to me, inexcusable, and that's why he has a really stinky sock.
A smelly sock right in his face. Rick, I'm going to give one also to someone who kept me out of a playoff matchup this coming week. Due to what he did to me last week, stunned. I'm going to stick with the same game, Rick. I'm going to go with Roddy White, one grab for 20 yards, just inexplicable. Again, this was a game you thought was going to be fantasy gold. Any player you had involved in that game, you wanted to get in your lineup, and nobody did anything short of Tony Gonzalez. I mean, he was the only one who did anything, but Roddy White, a big smelly sock to you for knocking me out of the fantasy playoffs in the Caveman League.
Exactly. That was pitiful. And, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, the New Orleans defense held Atlanta to 23.
Yeah, and what I don't understand.
Drew Brees was held to 13.
I wouldn't like it. I could have lived with this if Julio Jones would have caught 9 balls for $140. He was about 6 or 7 grabs for, what was he, in the 50 or 60 yard range, something like that. Just didn't throw the ball around. Michael Turner had a decent day. Tony Gonzalez had a Tony Gonzalez type of day. Just this game in general, stunning the way it went down.
Yeah, it was. It was something. All right, I'm going to give out another game ball, and he's turning into basically the most prolific weapon on this offense, other than maybe they got two if you want to throw in Marcel Reese, but Brandon Myers.
Yeah, how about that?
14 catches, 130 yards, and a touchdown.
Yeah, here's a guy, you know, let's talk about it again. If you're a Vernon Davis owner, I think you're playing Brandon Myers over him or Heath Miller. If you're I don't think anybody still has your Michael Finley on their team, do they? If you're an Antonio Gates owner, it's something you got to consider. It's hard to bench Antonio Gates, but he's been a disappointment this year. Brandon Myers sort of coming out of nowhere and continues to do it week in and week out.
This is a guy that was picked up off the waiver wire in a ton of leagues.
Yeah, no question about it. A guy you definitely didn't draft and happy you never heard of until about week 6 of this season. So, Rick, I'm going to give out a game ball. We mentioned him a lot. I think we got to keep bringing it up to make the point that this guy not only needs to be on your roster, he needs to be in your starting lineup week in and week out. That's Cecil Shorts, once again, 7 grabs, 77 yards and a touchdown. There's another 20-point week out of him in PPR leagues. This guy, out of nowhere and for no reason, is an every week start.
Yes, he is. He is the basically the only weapon on Jacksonville. And, you know, Blackman will have, a game here or there, but Shorts is the guy. And, if you got him on your team, he better not be sitting on your bench.
Yeah, no question about it. All right, Rick, I'll give out a smelly sock here. I think I got to give one. I'm going to go back to that Thursday night game. Jimmy Graham, only 4 grabs for 59 yards. He didn't help my cause getting into the playoffs either. This is 2 weeks in a row, under 100 yards receiving, under 60 yards receiving 2 weeks in a row. Low catch numbers. I don't know what's going on there, if he's still banged up, if he's just being worked out of the offense. I mean, he was 70% of that offense last year in his first couple of games back, and this guy has disappeared the last 2 weeks. And this is a guy drafted late in the first, early in the second rounds, and you're getting killed at the prime time of the year by this guy's production.
Yeah, exactly. And, we made a lot of bold statements about these tight ends not being able to maintain those types of stats, but on the same token, you're not looking for a total collapse either.
No, to just completely disappear.
Exactly. I tell you what, I'm going to give out a big old smelly salt. I know they don't have the greatest run game in the world, but it's fairly adequate. They don't have the receivers, but let's face it, 10 for 21, 97 yards and 3 picks. Mark Sanchez needs a big old size 13 stinky sock.
Size 13. You've never given sizes before, but yeah, I agree. Obviously not fantasy relevant, but something we spend way too much time talking about for the last year. Mark Sanchez, enjoy that smelly sock. Rick, I'm going to give a game ball. Here's a guy we basically said avoid like the plague going into this week. So my game ball's got to go to Steven Jackson. 21 rushes, only 48 yards, but then manages another 5 grabs for 69 yards. This guy, after a rough start against some bad matchups lately, has been putting up numbers consistently over 100 total yards. Didn't find the end zone this week, but has been finding the end zone. This guy in the second half of the season has resurrected his season and almost justified that third-round draft position you took him with.
Yeah, I tell you what, he's, that's one of those things. He's coming along, and I agree. I don't know what else to say.
Yeah, just didn't see it coming. I would have, what was the list? There had to be 15 guys we'd have started over Steven Jackson this week, and he damn near outperformed them all.
Yeah, and you just got to hand it to him because he doesn't quit. I mean, he's fighting for that team, and Jeff Fisher's done a great job with that team.
He's a perfect coach for that situation.
And, we were talking, they came off that tie almost like they had a victory. You knew San Francisco felt they should have had that game. And both of us, we were thinking coming into this game, San Francisco is going to be angry. This is not going to be pretty. And it wasn't pretty.
No.
I mean, St. Louis befuddled them and took them.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, Rick, we got to have about a minute left. Give your last game ball, and we'll get out of here.
I'll tell you what, I just cannot resist, just everyone said that they were done, not a chance. And he suffered through receivers dropping footballs. But, 25 of 36 for 276 yards and a touchdown, I got to give it to Charlie Batch.
Yeah.
Big win over Baltimore.
No doubt about it. And after that pathetic performance against the Browns, absolutely, rebound showed that. He doesn't have the skill of most guys in this league at his age, but he's a competitor and he's a professional, and that's what I saw out there was a professional quarterback, which you don't see from a lot of backups.
Exactly, and the thing was is the more he played, you could see more of the rust shaking off a little bit. You knew, even in the Cleveland game, he knew what to do. He just wasn't doing it. Baltimore, he was doing it.
He just got it done. He just stepped up like a pro. So that's it, Rick. We are out of time. An average show. I was going to say it was a great show, but I don't want to lie to people.
It's always fun.
I tend to be. Well, we had fun, and it really doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. So we will be back on Friday, our usual Friday slot at 8 o'clock. Only an hour, no more super extravaganzas. I still haven't haven't recovered from that one.
Those are hard to deal with, I tell you. We need commercial breaks on those things.
Yeah, bathroom breaks, anyhow.
Yeah.
So in the meantime, check out the site. Check out our archives at AsylumFantasyFootball.com. Any lineup questions, add Asylum Football on Twitter, AsylumFootball@gmail.com. We'll answer them right up till kickoff. Until then, we thank you for listening, and we'll see you on Friday.
Take care. Baby,